Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
I want to wake up where you are. I won't say anything at all. So why don't you smile?
GCE is one of the largest employers of the disabled in the U.S. 14 states, Alaska, D.C.
Alaska, well, 14 states plus District of Columbia.
Yep.
And Alaska.
Alaska to Florida. We have about 1,700 employees in GCE alone, and then there's another 1,000 in the LifeView Group organization as a whole. So, based right here in Pensacola since 1985? 40 years for GCE?
86.
40 years for GCE. So.
All right, John, you've lived how long in Pensacola? A little longer than I have? 20 years?
Oh, longer than 30
years?
Man. Yeah,
40. Have you ever heard of a company or organization, they're kind of both, called GCE?
No.
This is why I do this show. Because I had never heard of them either. I got invited to go see kind of a preview sneak peek about a company that is going to do a grand opening ribbon cutting today called GCE Designs. And we're there, and Mike Craney, who is the GM for GCE Designs, is explaining that GCE, the kind of parent company or the affiliate company, it's not quite a parent company really, but they employ about 2,700 disabled persons, one of the largest disability employers in the United States, across the Southeast and a whole bunch of states. There's about 1,700 work for them directly and about 1,000 that work in the Lakeview Center, which is kind of the organization that this is all a part of that spun off from Baptist a few years ago. And they're opening a thing called GCE Designs, which is going to do, like, it's right on Brent and 29, right in the shopping center, kind of behind the Burger King, you know, over there in that kind of workforce area east of the grocery outlet. And it's just a big open room with a bunch of machinery where they're going to do embroidery on jackets and shirts, and they're going to do patch attachment to hats, and they do, you know, silk screening and decal affixing to koozies and things like that. And it's going to be 12 to 15 people that work there, but it's, to me, it's like I didn't even know the big company existed, you know, so this is really a cool thing. Again, they're going to be opening today. I would think you might see some news stories about this later today or tomorrow, as I'm guessing, but, you know, I happen to be there about a week early to learn more about this organization.
GCE Designs is another outreach of GCE. GCE typically employs people in food service, landscape, facilities maintenance, IT. This is an actual production line of business. With 2,700 employees who need shirts, uniforms, hats, it makes sense to vertically integrate. At the same time, we are adhering to the mission, and we will be employing the disabled and neurodiverse as well as our production staff. So we're furthering to continue the mission.
So because they have so many employees working in so many different environments who all need, for example, you know, uniforms, well, instead of paying somebody to do the embroidery or the patchwork or the, you know, decal fixing or whatever to their various things that they need, they just decided, well, we'll just do that ourselves. That's an area where we can expand and we can employ some people who have those skills or can be taught to do those things. And then we don't have to pay outsiders, and we can find more work for the disabled that work within our network. Duh. It's very cool. You say, well, okay, how do they find these jobs? I mean, because your picture is disabled people, you know, how does that all work? It's through the military, through a program called Ability One, which, again, pardon my ignorance, I didn't know existed.
GCE is part of a larger program called Ability One, run by the U.S. Ability One Commission. It is an office under the executive branch that manages set-aside contract work from the federal government for nonprofits in the Ability One program to employ people with significant disabilities. In other words, we're using the federal dollar for the social good, but we're still providing products and services that are needed by the Department of Defense or pretty much the whole of the government. But we employ people with disabilities to do so. Those dollars would be spent regardless, but they're set aside work for us, so these contracts are put on what is called a procurement list. And so any federal government entity that's looking to purchase certain products and services are required to go to the procurement list first and see if there's an Ability One provider that can do that.
$4 billion worth of contracts.
$4 billion?
$4 billion worth of contracts.
Wow.
And so the idea is the federal government, particularly the military, okay, goes and they have to, you know, they have to go check and see if these, you know, procurements are available on the Ability One. And if they're not, then they can go outside. But they're trying to find disabled workers first. And if they can't find them, then they go somewhere else. Well, there's all kinds of different stuff that they do. I'll tell you about it in just a second. I know you're like, what?
Yeah. Right?
Based in Pensacola. For 40 years, 41 years, based in Pensacola. Anyway, go ahead, John. Tell them about Traffic on the Fives.
Brought to you by Knox Pest Control. Their family serving your family since 1929. For information on a free pest or termite quote, visit knoxpest.com. Knox knocks them out. No accidents to report to you or delays. Everything is flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your Traffic on the Fives.
Thanks so much, John. So, and by the way, when we're talking about just, I actually asked the question, you know, I said, you know, who is... You know, who's the disabled person that we're talking about? Are we talking about people with cognitive disabilities? Are we talking about veterans with disabilities? Are we talking about people who are neurodivergent, somebody who's autistic? You know, what exactly are we talking about? All of that. So somebody might be blind and maybe they can find them work. Or somebody might be deaf and maybe they can find them work. Or somebody might be missing an arm and they can find them work. Or somebody might, you know, they might be autistic. And they find them work. In fact, one of the little weird side notes is, I don't think I have the audio clip from it, but it was really cute. He was talking about how at one of the workplaces, which is primarily a group of people with autism, and, you know, there was somebody who was did not have autism and was kind of asking the question, you know, of the HR people, do they create problems having to work with so many autistic people? She's like, no, the autistic people are great. It's when one of you normies comes in and screws everything up. You're the drama. It's always you guys. And, you know, like, for example, particularly, you were saying this one, some of the autistic employees is they're very, very focused on task. And so doing a repetitive task that requires a high degree of focus that a lot of people kind of their mind wanders, they love working on things where it's just, I just have to do this one thing. I have to do this one thing just right. And I can keep doing this one thing over and over again just right. And they're super satisfied with it. Like, so you actually find employees who are better than sort of neurotypical. It's the word in the, we use now for, you know, neurodivergence, people who have brains that work differently, and neurotypicals, people who have brains that work like, you know, ordinary folks typically. Anyway, so who works here? Everybody. All of them. And that's part of the challenge is matching the work needed with the people who are disabled, with the people who make it possible, like the support staff around those people to make it possible for them to have the job, to do the job effectively, because that's necessary. They can't just do it on their own. They're going to need, like, you know, if somebody's deaf, they need ASL. Okay, they need somebody to sign for them often. And so, for example, you know, he says, look, I've got seven employees who are, you know, are ASL work, they're ASL with a top secret clearance because they're working on military contracts where people who are hard of hearing are doing the work for the military through the Ability One program. I mean, it's just, it's fascinating. You say, well, who are they? And I'm already getting texts in. I love this. I'm getting texts in from people who know this because they work in the military locally at Whiting and NES Pensacola.
And that's everything from uniforms and combat gear for our soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marines to, again, we hold all the food service and custodial contracts out on NES Pensacola, Whiting Field. We do IT work for the hospital at Eglin Air Force Base, and so on and so forth. We employ over 400 people just in Escambia County alone that are documented with a significant disability. Over the course of the state of Florida, it's about 800 people. We're the largest employer of persons with disabilities, single largest employer in the state of Florida.
So about 300, I think, work at NAS Pensacola in food service or janitorial. People are texting me, and I work with them every day at NAS Pensacola. Somebody else, I work with them every day at NAS Whiting Field. They work at Eglin at the hospital doing IT. They do all kinds of stuff. Like, you know, largest employer of disabled persons in the state. There's only going to be about 12 to 15 at this operation. But, you know, it's an additional element for people who, you know, can do the work. And by the way, one of the points they kept making is they still have to produce the end work to the standard needed by the procuring agency in the military or in the federal government. The trick is what sort of support staff or services are needed to get the person with the disability in a position where they're able to do the work up to the same exact standards of people who would not have a disability. And that's where a lot of the federal funding comes in. So the federal government is going to have a thing. The federal government needs patches sewn on attached to hats, okay, for something. And so they put a contract in Ability One for, you know, 10,000 hats. And then GCE Design says, oh, we can do that. But what we need is for, you know, the 5 or 6 employees we're going to need to do that particular project. We're also going to need 2 or 3 social workers. I'm completely just making up the example. But, you know, and somebody who works with the visually impaired, let's say, I don't know, and we're going to help them. And so it's the support staff around them the federal government also pays for. So they buy the product, which is funding, and then they also provide for the support staff, which is funding. And in the end, you get a product that you wouldn't know is made by anybody other than just, you know, a company that makes a product. And it's still a business, but we just make it possible for them to do the work.
First and foremost, like I said, we're a business. So, like, one of our...
By the way, this is Dwight Davis. He's the president of GCE, the kind of the big company.
First and foremost, like I said, we're a business. So, like, one of our large... We do the food service contract on Naval Station, Pensacola. That's about 300 employees. 80% of those... 80% of the direct labor hours are performed by somebody with a disability. So if we hire somebody with a disability, let's say it's an intellectual disability or learning development, our specialized, they're called targeted employment navigators, are people that recruit and help onboard these folks. They usually have social work background. They're used to being around persons with disabilities. They kind of guide them through the application process, and the discovery happens as to what supports do they need. We need to bring in additional job coaches. So we have agreements with third-party contractors that are funded by the state through vocational rehabilitation and one other. But we'll bring them onto the job site periodically if somebody's having trouble adapting. But, you know, again, it's across the spectrum.
What a fabulous program. It's amazing. And so, you know, like, for example, at Maxwell Air Force Base, they had a contract. I think it was food service. I don't remember if it was food service or janitorial, but it wasn't a, I think it was a not disability, provider. Or if it was, it was somebody else that was overseeing the disabled employees, and it just wasn't working right. So GCE took over that contract and turned it around, and now it's great. Again, based in Pensacola for the last 40 years. Now, in this particular, what's opening today is like a screen printing, silk screening, decal affixing, patch, embroidery. That's what they're going to do here. It's going to be about 12 to 15 employees, and that's what's grand opening today. Just cool. I thought it was amazing. And we actually got to do some stuff. We actually got to make some stuff. So we got to.
You got to make stuff?
Would John,
you, what? Uh-oh.
I got to make a koozie.
No.
With the Blue Angels sort of patch. It doesn't say Blue Angels because you can't use that term, but, you know, it's the F-18s, blue and yellow, blue and gold, with a Pensacola. I made this.
I'm so proud of you.
I know. And, you know, somebody made some shirts. Somebody put a patch on with the hat, and, you know.
That's
it's,
cool.
It's basically, think of line work, if you want to think of it that way, that's, you know, sort of repetitive. Okay.
Kind of like assembly line type.
Yeah, only for clothing or, you know, and right. They do all kinds of promotional materials, you know, cups, and if you need something printed on something, that, and they make the decals, all that kind of stuff. So it's, you know, it's assembly line work in a, what would you say is sort of a modern factory, small scale factory, where it's going to employ, like I said, about 12 to 15 people doing work for the federal government through this Ability One program that makes sure that the best, you know, any opportunity we get to employ the disabled, who otherwise obviously have a hard time finding good work, that will accommodate them fully. And there you go. Isn't that cool?
That's,
I mean, I just
awesome.
I know. I love that is so learning awesome. All these, you know, interesting little things that we do right here in Pensacola for the last 40 years. 6:24 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. If you need that next vehicle, Frontier Motors has a great selection of good quality used cars, and what they specialize in is cars that you can count on for several years. Cars that are going to basically be almost new but not brand new. You know, somebody else drove it off the lot, drove it around for probably a year or two. Maybe you're the third owner, okay, maybe. Second or third owner is very common. Cars that are like, you know, 1 to 4 years young, 10 to 40 or 50,000 miles, and they've got a lot of life in them. They warranty everything they sell up to 10 years or 100,000 miles, so you don't have to worry about that. That's included. You don't pay extra for that. Very easy to work with. And their basic philosophy is we're going to give people, you know, good quality cars, and then we're going to do it in such a way that they want to come back and buy from us again. Instead of, which is often the case, is let's get everything we can out of people in that first chance because they're never going to want to come back here. You know, the typical used car experience. Well, they just do it differently. So go there. They have 300 cars on the lot. Drive as many as you like. Look at as many as you like. Ask questions. tell them you want to be left alone. The cars are all open, so when you go look at them, you can go look at them and compare them side by side. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents to report to you or delays. Looks like I-10, I-110, 90, 98 are all flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. Add more road to your trip with the new 2026 Subaru Crosstrek or Forester Hybrid. Our new hybrids will keep you going no matter where the road goes. With up to 597 miles per tank, the Crosstrek Hybrid easily takes you to more places. And the Forester Hybrid sports a driving range of up to 581 miles per tank. Mileage like that lets you journey farther. And combined with Subaru's legendary capability of standard symmetrical all-wheel drive, you'll be able to handle any unexpected conditions and terrain with ease. Paved roads, gravel roads, just about any road, they're all fair game in the new 2026 Subaru Hybrid. Better fuel economy, legendary reliability, you'll find both in the Subaru Crosstrek Hybrid and Subaru Forester Hybrid. Love goes the extra mile at Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola. For details, call 877-554-9791.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Ladies, join us to be the impact in 2026. I'm Martha Holden, president of Impact 100 Pensacola, a women's organization that has given over $18 million to nonprofits right here. Meet other members and hear about the impact our funding has made at meet and mingle sessions through mid-February. Women 18 and older are invited to join us by March 1st. For details, check us out on Facebook or visit impact100pensacola.org. That's impact100pensacola.org.
Princeton Grove, a new affordable housing community in Crestview, is now taking applications for one- and two-bedroom apartments. Princeton Grove features a resort-style swimming pool, pickleball court, dog park, state-of-the-art fitness center, Energy Star-rated appliances, granite countertops, and for a limited time, Princeton Grove is offering one-bedroom apartments for $799 and two bedrooms at $1099 without any application fees. Princeton Grove Apartments in Crestview. Location, community, quality living. All starts at Princeton Grove.
In a world of payroll and HR services, things can get complicated. There are so many moving parts in business. At Avalon HR, we understand, and we have your back. Join us on the Pensacola Expert Panel as we guide you through the complicated world of payroll and HR services. Running a business is busy work. Allow Avalon HR to work with you. Join us today on the Pensacola Expert Panel at 10.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Wish someone would just ask the follow-up question.
Hugh Hewitt, weekdays 2 to 4 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
I've got a car now.
Oh, wow. How'd you get a car?
Oh, my folks drove it up here from the Bahamas.
You're kidding.
It must be the Bahamas or islands.
All-time favorite albums, Dead Milkmen, and the song is a female dog in Camaro.
Yep.
I'll just say it that way. I like to say that word on the air. Let's see, 437-1620. Oh, by the way, I did post a video of the tour at GCE, which is not of them talking so much, but is more them showing us the facility and seeing how all the different stuff works. So if you want to see that, it's up on our Facebook site, both on mine and also on our news radio site. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Good morning, Andrew. Hold on, my computer's freezing up on me here. I need that mouse jiggler thing we've talked about. I really,
man,
I
what you do in your private time is on
whoa,
you.
Oh, yeah.
Whoa, whoa.
I can never find the mouse cursor. Two giant screens. Here we go. All right, a House Democrat says President Trump's name appears more than a million times in the Epstein files. That was Congressman Jamie Raskin. Tuesday, he said he got a look at the unredacted files, and he said when he searched for Trump's name, it came up more than 1 million times.
Good Lord. Wow. Okay. All right.
A man who was detained by authorities in Arizona for the alleged kidnapping of Nancy Guthrie says he doesn't know who she is. Savannah Guthrie's mother was reported missing February 1st. This morning when the man was released, he told reporters that it was the first time he'd ever heard of Nancy Guthrie.
You need one of those giant old people cursors that you can see from across the room.
Yes.
Oh, hey, I got tickets, Pensacon tickets. two weekend passes for Pensacon coming up soon. 13th year, if I'm not mistaken. Caller number 3-437-1620.
Fox News, I'm Gianna Gelosi. A man was questioned and released in the search for Nancy Guthrie. The man named Carlos spoke to Fox.
So right now, all I know is that they show my in-law a picture of somebody wearing a mask or something, mm-hmm. and they supposedly look like my eyes.
Right, okay.
That's it. That's all I know.
Fox's Matt Finn interviewed him outside of his home in Rio Rancho, Arizona, about an hour from Tucson.
Ultimately, Carlos told us he was questioned, asked about his whereabouts. They took his phone, and that's it. He says he's a free man. He wants his name cleared. He doesn't want to be associated with the Guthrie case.
At least 9 people killed in a school shooting in Canada.
7 were shot dead at Tumbler Ridge Secondary School in British Columbia. Police believe 2 more bodies found at a nearby home are connected. A woman, who officers think was the shooter, died of what's described as a self-inflicted injury.
Fox's Jonathan Savage. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 10:31 at News Radio 92.3. We've got 60 degrees right now. It is mostly cloudy. We'll get to our forecast. Brooke Richardson has that for us in just a few minutes. Florida Lieutenant Governor Jay Collins announced a proposed pay increase for state correctional officers on Monday at the Santa Rosa Correctional Institution. Escambia Sheriff Chip Simmons has a question about that, though. He says, what happens to local jails? The proposal would raise starting pay for state corrections officers from $22 to $28 an hour as part of a $374 million plan. The sheriff says he backs those raises, but he does worry that county facilities could lose officers to now better paying state jobs.
Every time I hear about it, I'm thinking, well, what are you doing for the local jail? What are you doing for the municipal jail? I'm wondering what this is going to bring the state corrections mm-hmm. to and what the county corrections officers are to. And
Sheriff Simmons says he hopes that there's a solution in the works, but he does want to make sure lawmakers understand the ripple effect it can have on local agencies. Well, 2 Santa Rosa County residents told commissioners yesterday that they're concerned about government overreach. This is after DCF removed a child from a home without a warrant or evidence, they say. And Donna Long says the case could threaten all families.
If we don't stand up now, every one of you, all of us, are in jeopardy of losing your children to the state, and they're making money off of it every day. So please be aware of what's going on.
And a large gathering was held at the Santa Rosa County Courthouse on Monday. State Senator Don Gates was in attendance. Long said the case involved a mother named Kenley, whose hearing was continued until April. She posted details on the Northwest Florida Conservatives page. Santa Rosa County Commissioners approved a $219,617 contract for a turn lane on Giddens Road that's 100% funded by impact fees. Commissioner Kerry Smith says that project shows impact fees at work since the board approved them May of last year. The county's projecting $3,026,000 in impact fee revenue this fiscal year, with $2 million in new collections, $1 million carried forward from the previous year. A convicted killer is dead after being executed at the Florida State Prison. Ronald Palmer Heath died by lethal injection last night. The 64-year-old was put to death for killing a man he and his brother were robbing in Gainesville in 1989. Heath's brother was given a life sentence as part of that deal, or as part of a plea deal. In Heath's final statement, he said he was sorry. This was the first execution in Florida of 2026. Well, Miami's former police chief has some thoughts on the latest development in this Nancy Guthrie disappearance. The FBI yesterday releasing a doorbell camera video from outside the Guthrie house in Arizona, which showed a masked armed man. Former Miami police chief Jorge Colina said he's seen that video, and he said it looks like the person on the video is not a professional. Colina says the man seemed surprised that there was a camera, and it looked like he didn't spend a lot of time preparing. It is 6:35 at News Radio 92.3. Let's check in with John Pickens. Get a look at our traffic on the fives.
That's right. We're still rolling accident-free, even delay-free. Not seeing anything that's going to slow you down. I-10, I-110, 90, 98 are all looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. And it is 6:35. Let's get a check on our forecast. Channel 3 and Brooke Richardson have the details.
We are going to be looking at some patchy, dense fog as you go through the morning hours. Clears out as you head into the afternoon, high near 75 degrees. Overnight tonight, we are going to be seeing temperatures drop near 56 degrees after some showers move through. Heading into Thursday, mostly sunny skies, high near 69 degrees. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 52. For Friday, mostly sunny skies, high near 72. And Friday night, temperatures dropping near 57. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. 60 degrees, partly cloudy, and... your next news at 7, breaking news anytime it happens. News Radio 92.3.
I'm Mike Gavin with Your Money Now. Estee Lauder is suing Walmart over allegations it had counterfeit makeup products with its company name on Walmart.com's website. The products in question were sold by third-party sellers, but Estee Lauder says that Walmart played an active role in facilitating those sales to shoppers. Bitcoin's short-lived bounce faded as volatility in the world's largest cryptocurrency continued. The digital coin has been on a downward trajectory since hitting an all-time high above $126,000 in October, with the sell-off intensifying over the last month. Bitcoin dropped below $70,000 on February 5th and slid to just above $60,000, which is seen as a key level. The delayed jobs report this morning will give markets a lot to consider as investors parse through fresh data and a batch of revisions. Economists are not bullish on job growth, with Mark Zandi at Moody's saying the consensus for jobs added is probably around 50,000. Stocks are pointing slightly higher after a third straight record high for the Dow on Tuesday, finishing at over 50,000. That's Your Money Now.
It's game day. Are your moderate to severe Crohn's disease or ulcerative colitis symptoms keeping you from the action? Skyrizi, risankizumab Riza, could help you get back to the game. Skyrizi is proven to help people feel significant symptom relief, achieve remission, and visibly improve damage of the intestinal lining. Skyrizi is a prescription injection medicine for adults. Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions, increased infections, or lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, get checked for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor about any flu-like symptoms or vaccines. Liver problems leading to hospitalization may occur when treated for Crohn's or ulcerative colitis.
Control is everything to me.
Ask your doctor about Skyrizi, the number one prescribed biologic in Crohn's and ulcerative colitis combined. Learn more at Skyrizi.com or 1-866-SKYRIZI.
Hobbies can be fun and expensive. How about a hobby that's fun and could make you money? Find out tomorrow morning at 10 with Emerald Coast Coins. Hear about precious metals and metal detectors as a great hobby. For nearly 20 years, Emerald Coast Coins has been one of the top-rated businesses in Northwest Florida to buy and sell gold, silver, and the best metal detectors to find treasure. Get more information about this tomorrow morning on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Welcome back to Winter Hack Radio, the place for clever hacks to survive the season. Icy driveway? Well, try spreading sand or birdseed to help with traction. Snowy puppy paws? Well, grab a whisk, brush it off, done. Catch COVID-19? Well, just get...
Actually, there's no hack for COVID-19. But if you test positive, prescription medications for COVID exist. Ask your doctor if they're right for you. Visit PfizerForAll.com to learn more. Sponsored by Pfizer.
You don't need someone yelling at you.
You just want someone to say what you're already thinking.
That's MVR. Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins. They take the biggest stories of the day, cut through the nonsense, and say the quiet part out loud.
The American people have had enough.
Well, except for white women 55 plus.
There are a lot of white women that lean left.
Usually with a little sarcasm.
Thankfully, we know all the sane ones.
MVR. Weekdays 11 till 2 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620. Informative, local, dependable.
Therefore, be it proclaimed that the Board of County Commissioners of Santa Rosa County, Florida, does hereby declare February 11, 2026 as 211 Awareness Day, and urges all citizens to be aware that if they are overwhelmed in crisis or just need to talk, 211 Northwest Florida is available anytime, day or night. and that 211 Northwest Florida staff can provide referrals for mental health counseling, substance abuse, health care, employment, food assistance, daycare, support groups, volunteering, free income tax preparation, and more.
Hey, if you're having an emergency, you call 911. If you're having a crisis, you call 211. For whatever it is, United Way of West Florida does all this stuff, and they're overseeing several counties now. Ever since some of the changes a couple of years ago, remember some of the bad things that were happening in the Santa Rosa County one, and now that's gone away, and United Way West Florida's kind of taken over all that stuff. And yeah, today is the day where we really think about that, and it's an important resource for thousands and thousands and thousands of our community members who are, in crisis or have a need of any kind for help that doesn't quite fit into the medical or police or fire help that's the 911 stuff. 641 here on News Radio 92.3. Brad Baker is the Santa Rosa County Administrator. He joins us now. Brad, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. A couple of really, I think, really cool projects. One, my favorite cool project, is this Cold Creek Recreation Nature Preserve the land around Whiting Field for airspace and all of that. This is a really big deal. And if people don't know, if you look on a map, you go up 87 to where Whiting is. There's one space on the north end of Whiting, the North Whiting Field Preserve, and there's also a space on the west across 87 where there's a big lake. You can see it very clearly on a map, part of Cold Creek. And there's a couple of different phases of what you guys are doing. Can you just tell people what this is, what it's going to be, and kind of why it's important? Because I think this is a great program.
Yeah, it is neat, and I will say, while it is a cold creek, it is Clear Creek that we have.
Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you for correcting. Yeah, you're right. And we got a tour from the preservation folks a couple years ago. No, Clear Creek. Thank you. You're right. Sorry.
Yeah, so I think the Clear Creek one, that's the most recent one we purchased, just over 400 acres. We'll have both sides of that little lake there. And got a really neat plan we've been working with Vernon Compton and the Longleaf Alliance and worked out some phases. So the first phase, we'll kind of use the trails, the fire lines, the roads that were already there to make a walking trail, designing a parking lot right now. Phase two, we'll do a mobility impaired, kind of a loop that's really close to the parking lot. And then phase three, we'll do a kayak launch. We'll probably need to do it with the terrain right there where people are currently launching their boats right at 87. And then phase four on the steeper terrain north of there will be another walking trail that will loop in to the south side. So it's a really neat project. It's beautiful land out there. And then, like you said, on the north side, we're designing one that really probably better. Well, you can walk it, but it does have some flat terrain, so we're looking at doing some biking trails on that one.
Oh, nice.
And then, of course, down in Navarre, we have the East Bay one we bought a couple of years ago, and probably 4 years ago now. And we've done some land management on that, some burning and whatnot, so we're ready to move forward with that. And we'll probably do both down there, the hiking loop. And there is some terrain that supports some biking loops in there as well.
So. Is that the 500-acre project, or am I thinking of a different thing?
It is.
Okay.
It is. It's kind of split into three parcels. So one is pretty wet and not really conducive for these. And so the other two parcels, the one that's a little closer to Eglin, and then the one that's kind of right in the middle of those subdivisions in there. So it is three parcels.
And these will all be open to the public, right?
They will be.
Yeah, and so I just want to emphasize, you think about like the UWF bike trails, or you think about there's some bike trails all over the place in both Escambia and Santa Rosa. But, this is natural setting walking trails. We're, quite a substantial one. Like you said, 400 acres for the one over at the Clear Creek Nature Preserve. The biking one up on, or the biking slash maybe hiking on the north side, and then the one down in Navarre. I mean, this is very significant recreational access for people who like to be out of doors, doing activity things, and, being in nature instead of being on a track that goes around in a circle, or even a track that winds its way through. Like you think the Rails to Trails is one version of this, but I mean, that's just a long straight shot. It's kind of boring. These are really interesting things, and the county's going to make this available to people, right? I mean, Brad, did I say anything wrong?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And these are areas the board has worked to with different partnerships to put in conservation. And the ultimate plan is, you know, to manage those properties and make them available in the trails. We do need to be passive in those areas because they are conservation. So we're not going to do, you know, ATVs or anything like that. And some of them are pretty sensitive to erosion. So that's why we'll only do hiking trails on those.
And also, just in case it escapes people also, is this is at the perimeter. The two of them are at the perimeter of NES Whiting Field. So they are preservation, you know, that's protecting the mission by making sure that land doesn't get developed into houses or anything else. So this is all good stuff. We're talking to Brad Baker, Santa Rosa County Administrator. Hang on for just a second, Brad. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents to report to you or delays. Everything looks good this morning. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks, John. Back to Brad Baker, Santa Rosa County Administrator. One of the other things you guys are working on for Thursday's meeting is, and of course, yesterday was the committee meeting. That's where you talk about, it's like the agenda review, and then Thursday is the voting meeting. Is developing property on Berry Hill Road where they're, if I remember correctly, this is the property that you guys acquired for doing some drainage work. You paid a little bit above asking or above the, you know, the comparable rate, but you said it was essential. And now you didn't need all of the land. And so you're going to be able to, instead of just selling it, you're going to actually kind of superintend the development of it so that you get things that you want there that are good for the public and also able to generate tax revenue. Do I kind of have this right?
You do. And so to kind of to expand on that is, so we tried to purchase other properties along there. We had one that would meet our needs, but they wanted $5 million for. So this Williamson property is, she wouldn't sell us just the 10 acres or 11 acres that we needed. She'd only sell us the 42-acre parcel. So there was no other parcels available without condemning someone's house. And she had it up for sale. There were a couple offers in on that, so we did bump it up a little bit. But what's interesting is I had two of the developers who had offers in tried to buy it from us after taking the acreage we needed out. But the county commission wants to kind of control what goes in there, and if we sell it, zone it, then it, you know, whatever they want to put in there. We want to kind of work with the developer to say, hey, what's the market? And you know what, we want to put something in there that will relieve traffic off of Highway 90, right? Parkland Place is going in, a lot of development in that area. There's already a Walmart, there's already a Wawa. So let's look at some commercial property that would keep and alleviate traffic going to Highway 90, whether that's a, you know, a nice restaurant, some supportive shops, whatever that looks like. We'll work with a developer on, you know, what's the market going to support? And then we'll work out a price and a development agreement so that we get what they promised us. So yeah. It is going before the rezoning in March, and our ask would be to rezone it to CC1, which is similar to what the property across the street is.
But within, you know, this is the direction that we want things to be developed in, not just a blanket. You're not going to sell it off and say, here's the zoning, build whatever you want. The idea is to be smart about it, which I love. I think is a really smart way to approach a kind of a problem that, you know. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's right. With a development agreement so that we have a contract in writing so that we do get to control that.
Absolutely. One of the other things that didn't get a lot of discussion yesterday, I think it was Kerry Smith or Colton, I forget who said it, but there's two letters you guys are being, you know, asked to either sign on to or sign of your own. One is to support the Coast Guard mission establishing a boot camp at NAS Pensacola. Of course, we're all on board with that, and I like that you guys are going to do that, that the City of Gulf Breeze is also doing. But the other one the City of Gulf Breeze is doing has to do with opposition to SB 948. I spent a lot of time on the show talking about SB 948. This is the most insane thing I have ever seen. It would essentially preempt all residential zoning to the state and set minimum lot sizes at 1,200 feet, and they can build pretty much anything they want anywhere in the state that currently has residential zoning, and it's retroactive. So unless you're in an HOA, sucks to be you. I mean, you've read the bill, Brad. Am I saying it wrong?
You are. You're right. And, you know, we have been saying this for years. They have been trying to erode local government's ability. You know, we call it homeland rule, where the local government gets a say in what goes on. And if you notice, you go look over the last 4 or 5 years, every year there's more bills that erode away at that. And, you know, if you're a, you know, I learned a lot since I've been in administration going on 5 years with my trips to Tallahassee. Whoever has the money, they send the lobbyists down there, and they really push hard to get what they want. And you know, obviously it's easier to fight a state level with all your resources than to go and fight in every county.
Yep.
So, you know, I've seen that going on in my time in the administration, and it's very frustrating. They're wanting to, you know, really just take over and eliminate the local ability to regulate development.
It's almost to the point where if this bill passes, you kind of want to say, well, why didn't y'all just get rid of counties? I mean, it's that sweeping, you know, why don't just say it? Tallahassee wants to run the state and they don't want these stupid county people with their elected officials, you know, making decisions about zoning and, you know, building and just, it's crazy. Brad, anything else y'all are working on? Oh, I guess you guys were also talking about the same issue in Gulf Breeze where you're having this work by the fiber companies. It happened in my own neighborhood and it's crazy. But these fiber companies will go in and they pull their fiber, which we love, but they do it in such a way that they hit water lines and they break water mains, and Gulf Breeze has kind of tried to work on restricting them. What does the county look at? This isn't coming up just yet, but you're going to have a public hearing eventually on this, right?
Yeah, and that's what we asked the board to do, to allow us to schedule a public hearing to amend our ordinance. And basically, it's we'll need to do more permitting and enforcement in the right-of-way. You know, these folks are just going in, and it's their subs, and they're just blowing through. They're like recently we had to close down, you know, Sinamid and Bell Lane for a while because they literally bored it straight through a water main. And eroded all under the road. They had to do all kind of replacement, resurfacing. I mean, it was crazy. And what was crazy is they blew through it and kept on going. So Pace Water gets out there. And they're still going down the right-of-way headed toward Highway 9. And, I mean, so we've had this in Navarre. They busted through Okaloosa Gas's lines multiple times in one weekend. And, you know, that causes taxes on our resources. So it's just time that, you know, we do something. We've worked with our local water purveyors and crafted the wording that we'll be presenting at the ordinance. And, you know, it's just trying to not slow it down. It's more like you have to pay attention to what's in the right of way. You can't just blow through everything.
Right. And I mean, it's bizarre. Like, why bother marking stuff if you're just going to drill right through it anyway? That's just crazy.
Yeah, that's right.
And not be responsible. And, you know, I know some of the ideas are, you know, maybe to restrict the time they can operate so that they don't cost you overtime, weekends, that kind of stuff. And, you know, I mean, all of that makes sense to me. You know, I wish you didn't have to rein in bad, you know, bad or negligent actors, but it seems like that kind of is the case. Brad Baker, he is the Santa Rosa County Administrator. Thursday is the regular meeting where they vote on all this stuff. Brad, as always, thanks for doing what you do. Thanks for keeping us informed, man, and I appreciate the time, sir.
Okay, Andrew, have a good day.
Absolutely. 6:53 on News Radio 92.3. Oh, somebody texted me in, hey, have you read the last page of the Florida Doge Report? I have. You mean the part where they recommend getting rid of cities? For real. Like, this is the mindset, not of everybody, but of enough of the leadership in Tallahassee, at least in the administration, where they're like, city schmitties, you know, we're just going to do what we want. You don't need to. Why do you pay extra taxes for stuff? I don't know, for better services, you know? Like, the mindset is, we know best for all of you. Screw your local control. You can come to Tallahassee and beg us for favors. I mean, it's not good. It's not, and I will say this, I know the governor likes to rag on people that criticize him for being rhinos. It's not Republican. It's not conservative to believe in big government in Tallahassee. 23 million people, we're a country, okay? They want big government in Tallahassee. That is not conservative. That is not Republican. Local control, small government, closest to the people, the principles of subsidiarity that the Catholic Church talks about. I mean, all of that stuff. That's rhinoism. That's not Republican. It might be like social conservative and it might be fiscally conservative, but the idea of having the same rules for everybody across a large geographic area managed by a centralized government, that's not Republicanism. 6:55 here on News Radio 92.3. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents to report to you, but we are seeing traffic backed up to the front gate of NAS, backed up all the way to Sunset. So pack your patience with that one. Other than that, we're good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
I mean, I don't want to belabor this point, but I kind of want to do is you can't talk about how it's bad to have one central national government that overrides all the things that the states want to do individually. and then turn right around and say that you want to have a massive central government in the state of Florida that overrides and takes over everything the counties want to do. If you're for the states, you should be for the counties. And if you're against the counties, then you should be against the states. Like, it's the same principle, but there's no parallelism in the thinking here. Hey, if you've got a kid that's struggling with math at all or just has never quite gotten comfortable or enjoyed certain aspects of it, go to Mathnasium. Seriously, every kid can learn to be great at math. Every kid can certainly learn to be better. And part of the issue is, you know, knowing how to teach each individual kid, and every kid is a little bit different. And maybe you as a parent are frustrated because the way you learn math is not the way they learn math. They were doing well, and now they're not doing well, or they've never, you know, always struggled, whatever. Mathnasium is individualized attention with a program designed to find which particular skills they're missing or aren't quite developed right, and then to fix that and to get them comfortable enjoying math. My son taught there for a year. We love the Mathnasium program, and the assessment is completely free. Just go find out what's going on. Take your kid in, do an assessment, find out what's going on, and see if a program from there makes sense to you. Mathnasium is located next to Marshall's in the Fresh Market Shopping Center at 9th and Airport.
Managing your ECUA service is about to get a whole lot easier. Coming up on February 16th, the new My ECUA mobile app puts everything you need right at your fingertips. From paying your bill, submitting service requests, and reporting issues like missed collections, damaged or lost bins, water main breaks, and sewer overflows, it's all right there in one easy-to-use app. So download My ECUA starting February 16th and take control of your services anytime, anywhere. It's available in the App Store and Google Play.
Each Sunday at 7:30 a.m., the Bible Baptist Bookstore of Pensacola, Florida, brings you Theological Seminar with teacher Peter S. Ruckman, founder and president of the Pensacola Bible Institute. He will teach you what the Bible says about the subject, not merely what it is presumed to teach.
Tune in this Sunday at 7:30 a.m. for Theological Seminar with Dr. Peter S. Ruckman, brought to you by Bible Baptist Bookstore on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 is accepting applications for employment. Periodically, we have openings in sales, business, news, promotions, engineering, production, and programming. We'll keep your application for consideration when such an opening occurs. We also provide internships for qualified students. Apply online at newsradio 92.3 or at our studios at 7251 Plantation Road between 8:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. ADX Communications is an equal opportunity employer.
So, what did I miss today?
Good question.
I'm Andrew McKay.
Chris Bryan.
Austin Price.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
There you have it.
To all beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions on a sesame seed bun.
Somebody texts me and says, this is the argument against term limits because the lobbyists wind up running the show and they think long game and they know that a little bit of money sprinkled in Tallahassee can get you a lot of effect across the entire state as opposed to going and fighting it in a county by county level. No, they're right. I mean, you know, I hate to say I'm beginning to really not be for term limits. I'm not quite there yet. I've always been very much on the fence for it. But one problem with term limits is if you get rid of them, then you don't have lame ducks. People are always interested in the re-election campaign, and they're always wanting to make sure they're accountable to you, whereas lame ducks aren't. Just a thought. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Good morning, Andrew. Attorney General Pam Bondi will face a House hearing today. The House Judiciary Committee holding its annual oversight hearing of the Department of Justice. The Epstein files expected to be a big topic during that. Bondi's also expected to be questioned on the legal justifications for arresting a former Venezuelan president, Nicolas Maduro. Over 1,400 Salesforce employees are asking CEO Mark Benioff to stop the company from working with ICE. The letter, reported by CNBC, expresses concern over reports that Salesforce is pitching the use of AI to help ICE hire thousands of new agents.
All right, David, thank you so much for the update. We'll be back in just a minute. Got some really good stuff coming up. I'm Andrew McKay here on Pensacola Morning News. Also, we have tickets to ZZ Top to give away. Not yet, but soon. Stick around.
Stream us at newsradio923.com. News Radio.